question. So the first question is that truth and good will definitely triumph, and that's what always has happened. But we find that in the present world, evil and falsehood is predominant. And because of its predominance, a lot of innocent people are being victimized. Who would become the very dedicated and devoted worshippers of God Almighty? How would you explain this dilemma which mankind is facing today? On the one hand, we are sure that truth will triumph and the time will come for it. On the other hand, we see a lot of these innocent people being victimized by all these evil forces.
The question you have raised is a very profound philosophical question which has always been agitating the human mind. It does not just relate to religion alone. It relates to just the human issue itself, as to what we are, why we have been created, what is all around us, why suffering, why misery, why crime, and will there be a golden age that some philosophers have foreseen, where man will emerge ultimately into light? These are the issues which are directly related to the question you have raised. And in my opinion, first of all, the premise has to be analyzed. Without that, just by going by slogans, this issue can never be resolved. Sure. For instance, you said, truth will prevail, we know. Yeah. But what does it mean? How does the truth prevail? Why do we see that every time the truth seems to be established, immediately darkness and evil seems to creep upon it from all sides until it almost entirely covers it? So what is this phenomenon? Why should we go on making the slogan and telling the whole world the evil, the spirit or the truth must prevail and the evil will be dispelled? This is not right. We must be truthful, otherwise the truth will not prevail anyway. So in the analysis of the situation, we must realize one thing, that the efforts, that is to say religious efforts, which began with prophets, and great or minor, but they always began with prophets, did overcome the resistance of the evil to a degree that they were created to, they were able to create small islands of truth and goodness. But for how long? This is the question. Altogether, very soon after the demise of prophets and the first generation or two, the darkness seemed to creep upon back. So what is darkness and what is truth? Unless you deeply analyze these issues and understand the phenomenon, you simply can't give any verdict about it. To me, disorder is darkness, and order and discipline is truth. And it is wrong to say that order prevails in the sense that it always spreads and destroys disorder so completely that it can never return. We don't see this happening in the world. The scheme of things is completely different. It takes an effort to make order. And it takes a greater and prolonged effort to maintain it. Otherwise, the time is in favor of disorder. The natural forces work against order and human efforts and their achievements. So all the buildings you make, what happens to them? They go into decay unless the work of repair is carried out faster than the defacing hand of time. If left to time, then everything, whatever you create, however beautiful it may be, will ultimately be turned into ruins. So this is a philosophy we learn from the scheme of God's things. Any claim to the contrary by religious people is false. So in the light of this, when you study the Holy Quran and how the struggle between evil and goodness began, and what was the verdict of God which he gave in answer to the question raised by Mephisto, whatever name you call it by, but Satan it was. Then you understand that there is no such thing as evil being completely dispelled forever and truth prevailing forever. No such image is given by the Quran at all. It's on the contrary, it creates an image whereby Satan is given a free license to work against truth, to mislead the servants of God, his creation, till the end of the time. And what Satan challenges God, and which has not been rejected as such, that is, that the challenge is that I will lead most of your servants away, and you will find them not grateful at all. Permit me to do it till the end of the time, and then you will see if I am superior or this Adam whom you prefer over me. Apparently very logical question, but the answer is very profound, and it admits at the same time that majority will be on your side. So instead of rejecting this claim that he will gain ascendancy over most of the servants of God, Allah rectifies the question in only a small point. Allah tells them, they will not be my servants whom you lead away. They will be creations, of course, but don't give them a wrong name. Please, come in, please. They will not be my servants. As far as my servants go, you will have no ascendancy whatsoever over them. And what will belong to you, I will not interfere, I will not forcibly take it back. But my servants will never be misled by you. So this is the meaning of prevailing of truth, if at all there is any meaning to it. And that indicates that truth is not an imaginary something which continues to prevail without any object through which it is reflected. So those who believe in God at the hands of the prophets of God, that generation who know them, they are not only loyal, they withstand all the pressures to the contrary. They offer their honor, they sacrifice their properties, life, whatever it is, but this hold fast to truth. It is there that the truth prevails, not in numbers,
yes,
but in quality and in a representation of minority against majority. It has never happened that the majority of mankind has been turned into good people, nor was it ever a design of God. When freedom is granted to evil forces to do whatever they may, then this was a logical conclusion that most of mankind should have been led away by evil forces, because to try to understand it with the help of some natural phenomenon will be a good course, an advisable course. Otherwise, this issue is very delicate and philosophical. without the help of some illustrations, we can't fully understand it. What is the gravitational pull? It's a very powerful pull. Unless something is with effort kept at a level higher than the gravitational pull would like to draw that something, unless constant effort is applied to keep that something away at a distance from Earth, the Earth will ultimately predominate. It's impossible to continue to fight on against the gravitational pull because it's a downhill force. And the downhill force, which is predominant and which prevails over everything, has nothing to exult about. Because this is a natural law which works, and to be pulled downward is but expected. To go work against that downward pull and to be able to maintain that height you gain, that is laudable. That is where the truth does prevail. Because every force is against the truth. All the circumstances collude to destroy truth. And when, despite this, the truth prevails, in the sense it retains itself, maintains itself, and in whomsoever it is reflected, those people are the symbol of truth, in fact. And they are never overwhelmed by darkness. That is one meaning of prevailing of truth, and that is one meaning of the scheme of things as we have seen unfolded by God through messengers and the people they created. There is another meaning to it which many times people ignore to see. As a general rule, they do observe that after every transient period of the victory of truth, which begins with the dawn of prophethood, it soon disappears, and then we see darkness creeping from all around and retaking its lost territories. Apparently this is what we see. But a deeper examination would reveal a different picture. What is gained by truth is never altogether lost. They have a higher level of decency is created in human affairs, which may sink back to the original depths, but not altogether, not quite. An example of Islam can be quoted, which is so misunderstood most often by people or casual observers. When Hazrat Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam worked upon the people of Arabia, after his demise, everything seemed to be lost again. People returned back to their tribal prejudices and infights and bloodshed of each other, and it seems all the chaos returned. But that is in comparison to what Hazrat Muhammad Rasulullah had achieved. The level of that achievement was so high that when he left, its gradual sinking back in the direction of old was what makes this most terrible and tragic contrast. But they never sank to that original depth from which Muhammad Rasulullah had taken them up and lifted them. Even the worst things which happened after the demise of Muhammad Rasulullah were comparatively good and better to the pre-Islamic state of the Arabia. There was so much knowledge, so much love, so much sacrifice, individual or community islands of goodness, which remained resistant to the onslaught of darkness. So to say that everything was lost is just a casual observation. It has no truth, no substance. Each prophet who works on mankind leaves them at a high level after his demise, they begin to sink back, but never back to the old level. And if you study the history of civilization, you'll be surprised to learn, which most sociologists ignore intentionally or unintentionally, that in the building of civilization, religion has played the most important role and most substantial role. Whatever Christian values are seen in England, they owe themselves to Christianity. And whatever Western values have predominated, they are the values which are misunderstood in the name of Christianity. They are not Christian values at all. It is those values which are creating disturbances and unhappiness. But the true Christian values, if you bring them back to the British society, will transform the nature of the society, and heaven can be born out of hell. So civilization, if you study it with a deep analytical attitude, you will be found to be a blessing bestowed by religions. And when the religions passed away or were ultimately changed, still that level of decency left behind was higher than the previous level. So now we, for instance, now we, at this time, we witness cruelty, suffering, as you just mentioned. Suffering in Bosnia, suffering here, suffering there, in our country, here, yeah, elsewhere. But imagine what the meaning of suffering was 200 years before. What despotism meant only 70 or 80 years before in the communist regime of Russia. And what despotism means today in Russia. There's difference of poles, of East and West, between the two. So one should be realistic in one's analysis. Truth has never been beaten back altogether. It has continued to improve the quality of human life and human behavior, though that idealistic level has not been maintained, which was attempted to be maintained by the prophets of God, but it was too high for humans to retain. But that society which was transformed, that did maintain it. So these are the two meanings of how truth prevails in answer to your question, please.